As you know, when a witness takes the stand in a courtroom, he or she is to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the what? The truth. But you can read online of many cases where a witness has lied, which has led sometimes to the guilty being released or the innocent being charged. Well, our study today will remind us that there is only one perfectly true witness, and we can trust his every word. In Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6, beautifully describes this faithful and true one by telling us, and these are our points this morning, who Christ is, point number one. Point number two, what he has done for us. Point number three, what he has made us. And our last point is, what is to be our response to him? On this Sunday after Thanksgiving, as we now recall our Lord's death till he comes, I want us to study John's rich salutation of our Lord. I want us to first see what the scriptures tell us about who Christ is. And John spells out three titles of our Lord in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and prince of the kings of the earth. The first title of this revelation of Jesus Christ is faithful witness. Friends, in his person, Jesus is God's faithful witness, which means he is God's prophet to us. He is God's spokesman to you and me. And what does he witness? Well, he perfectly speaks and represents to us the truth of God's nature. He tells us who God is. If you want to know who God is, you look to the Lord Jesus. You look and see what he is like. Remember, Christ said, "I and my Father are one. He that has seen me seeth him that sent me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And so this one called by Isaiah, a witness to the people, and by John, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, came into this world to bear witness unto the truth. For he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Now today people say, well, you can have your truth, and I can have my truth. What you believe is good for you. What I believe is good for me. Again, he is the faithful witness who cannot lie, who lived and spoke accurately the ways and the will of God. I say, what a faithful witness to us. And in hearing his faithful witness of God's nature, we can know who God is and that he loved us and sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And so I ask, are you believing in and receiving the word of God's faithful witness? Friends, if you don't get Jesus right, you don't get the truth right. If you don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you will never truly understand what truth is. And to know the truth is to set a person free. To know the truth is what gives us eternal life. And so how important it is that you know this true witness and that you can trust this witness. Again, he is God's faithful witness. Well, John gives us a second title of Christ, telling us that the Lord Jesus in his position is the first begotten of the dead, which means as our priest, he is the highest of those raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of them which slept. Now remember, the words first begotten or firstborn here is not used chronologically. Rather, it is a position of preeminence. The Greek word means greatness and superiority, not time sequence. And so Christ is the preeminent one of all those who have been resurrected or who will be resurrected to life. I love how God the Father describes his Messiah in Psalm 89, verse 27. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. And here in the book of Revelation, as well as in other portions of Scripture, we have the unfolding of this promise, which comes to pass as we see in the third title of who Christ is, which is the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. And here as Prince, we see his power. In this one who has a name which is above every name, we see that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We see that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. We see that he is the King of heaven. We see that he shall reign forever and ever. We see that he is the King of the Jews. We see that he is the King of Israel. We see that he is the King of the ages. We see that he is the King of glory. We see that he is the King of the saints. We see that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And so he, and he alone, is the mighty Prince of the kings of the earth. Friends, Christ has the title King all locked up. And so what titles Christ wears in his person? He is the faithful witness. In his position, he is the first begotten from the dead. And in his power, he is Prince of the kings of the earth. He truly is prophet, priest, and king. I think the logical question at this point is, do you know this Jesus as your divine prophet and priest and king? Friends, your life depends on knowing Jesus. If you don't know him as your Savior, you will forever perish. But knowing him as your Savior, you have eternal life. Our second point this morning, we see from our text what Christ has done for us. And there are two things found here that he has done. And the first is, he loved us. Verse 5, unto him that loved us. Now in the Greek, the word used here for love is in the present tense, which tells us Christ has a continual self-sacrificing, abiding love for us. We see love waning so frequently in our world. Couples that say, well, I love you, and then they end up their marriage falling apart. We see how children and parents have rifts in their family relationships. But here is a love that never fails. Here is a love that keeps on loving. Here is a love you can trust. Here is a love you can depend on. His is an unbreakable love. And according to Romans chapter 8, we see here that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, Paul says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, what love. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. And according to the book of Ephesians, where Paul writes in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, this love comes to us in four dimensions. Paul writes that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What love! To know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. This ever-giving divine love, friends, is so potent that it really does grow our devotion to Christ. And this love of Christ so constrains us that we experience more and more the fullness of God revealed in His power, His majesty, His wisdom, His love, His mercy, His patience, His kindness. And can I add everything else God is and God does? What Christ has done for us. You say, well, I don't always feel love. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. And again, it's a never dying love. This love is further so vividly seen, so clearly seen in the second thing Christ has done for us, which is and washed us from our sins in His own blood. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son. Why did He give a Son? So that He might die in our place. That He might shed His blood to make an atonement for our sin. And yes, Christ's blood has and continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see that in 1 John 1 verse 9. And so we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. But really the idea here is that Christ's blood not only has forgiven us of our sin and oh, the blessing to have our sins forgiven, but here we see more specifically that Christ's blood has loosed us, has freed us, has unbound us, has released us from our sin. The aorist tense is used here, meaning Christ has once and for all destroyed sin's power over us, which means He has freed us from its hold over us, which means sin no longer has dominion over us. And so we can say no to temptation. We can say no to sin. Christ has paid the price to buy us from our slavery to sin with His blood. He paid the ransom. He has once and for all set us free, not only from sin's penalty, but as we're seeing here, from sin's power, and one day even from sin's presence. I can't wait to be in glory where there is no more sin anywhere. I mean, we live in such an evil and corrupt and cursed world. But one day we'll exchange our address from earth to heaven. One day sin's presence will be no more. Friends, it is amazing what Christ has done for us. He loved us. He gave His life. He shed His blood to free us from our sin. And in the process, we now see what Christ has made us. And this is point number three. He has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, which we see in verse 6. What is John telling us here? Because of Christ's love so demonstrated in His bloody death for us, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ has made us kings. Wow. And as kings, we are seated with Him on His throne. And you can see that in Ephesians 2:6. And so thankfully, we come under His kingdom, which means He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in which we now enjoy Christ's loving, gracious rule. Remember, in His kingdom, in His dominion, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. His commandments are not grievous. And one day as kings, we'll reign with Christ here on earth. And we're talking 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. And then in making us priests, we have been granted direct access to the very presence of God. We have been given entrance into his throne of grace, whereas the writer of Hebrews tells us we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'll speak for myself. Friends, I always need grace because I'm always in need. I'm never at a point where I don't need Christ's mercy and grace. And that mercy and grace is always available to me. I think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where the apostle tells us, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a unique or peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Friends, you're pretty important. Christ has made you a king. Christ has made you a priest. Which brings us to point number 4, and that is, what is to be our response to this Savior who is our prophet, our priest, and our king, who has loved us, who has washed us from our sins in his own blood, and who has made us kings and priests. I mean, that's a big deal. That's pretty high cotton, amen?
Amen.
He, our prophet, our priest, our king, he, the one who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, has loved us. He has washed our sins away. He has made us kings and priests. There should be some response to that, amen? You know, when you get something for your birthday or you get something for Christmas, what do you say? Thank you. And we say that to Jesus. Thank you. But we add to that, as verse 6 tells us, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To such a Savior and Lord, the right to everlasting glory and dominion is given. Daniel 7:14 states, "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." No wonder Christ and Christ alone deserves glory and dominion. And we glorify him right now as we yield ourselves instruments of righteousness unto God, as we sow to the Spirit, as we redeem the time because the days are so evil, as we overcome evil with good, as we cleave to that which is good. Friends, this is the one whose death we now remember. This is the faithful witness. This is the first begotten from the dead. This is the prince, I love this title, prince of the kings of the earth, who loved us, who washed us from our sins in his own blood, who gave his life, who died in our place. Jesus died for you, and who has now made us kings and priests unto God. Amazing grace, we sang it earlier. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I what? I see. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Friends, God through the person of Jesus died for you. Don't let that fly over your head. Don't let that just be common knowledge. Don't let that just be, oh, okay, yeah, I've been told that before. God gave his life so that you might have life. Oh, may we be faithful witnesses of God's divine and faithful witness. Amen?
Amen.
How do we witness this amazing, faithful witness? By giving our lives to him, by saying, Lord, let your beauty be seen in me. Live your life through me. Might the words of my mouth, might the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. You know, even though we have people that we'll cross paths with that say, okay, well, that's truth for you. That's great. I'm glad you found what you think is truth. This is truth for me. In the face of such, really, you know, I'm not going to believe what you say is truth. We continue to say Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Friends, there are people out there that still will come to Jesus, and we need to tell him that Jesus saves.